Anyways, we've been doing this series we call Safe and Sound. It's based on Psalm 23. And a lot of times when we look at that psalm, or when you've heard that psalm in the past, it's been in the context of a funeral or some somber celebration. And I'm just here. I said to you the first week, and I'll say it again, that's not really what the psalm is all about. And so we're taking a look at the details of that psalm, at each phrase as we go along the way, to see what it was that David was trying to convey to us. The very first week, we said the first part, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We are all managed or governed by someone or something. David is saying, for him, I'm a part of the sheepfold of God, and it is God who is my shepherd. He is the one who is watching over my life. He is the one who is directing my way. He's the one who's providing for me, etc., etc., etc. So with that in mind, in the very next phrase, he says, I shall not want. Understanding that God is his shepherd, he understood that God would care for his every need in a more than sufficient way. And so, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is all about the Lord making sure that we've got the necessary nourishment, the necessary filling, if you will, that keeps us happy and satisfied. David is saying that the Lord will lead him in such a way that he will be assured to find his rest in him and alleviate him from all the pesky junk of life and make sure that his life stays replenished. All right, so that brings us to today. And here is what I want to talk to you about today. He restores my soul. Can you say that with me this morning? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The last time we were together, a couple of weeks ago, remember Chris Ball, Pastor Chris Ball, the leader of Elam, was with us last week. A couple of weeks ago, I sat right over here. We were having communion together, and I sat over there, and one of the last words I said to you on the way out the door 2 weeks ago is the whole point of what David's saying here, the whole point of him bringing us and making us lie down in green pastures, the whole point of leading us beside still waters, is for the express purpose of seeing our soul restored and refreshed. That's the whole point. The whole point of following God's lead in our life, the whole point is so that our souls would be restored. In the big picture of things, it is the whole theme of the Bible. Since the Garden of Eden, God has been on a mission to see the souls of mankind restored. It's why God the Father sent his Son Christ. And what Jesus said when he arrived on planet Earth, when he grew up, and he started his first opening salvo of public ministry, his first sermon ever preached, he started out with these words, I have come to you with good news. I'm paraphrasing. I've come to you with good news for poor souls. I've come to bring restoration to those who are broken, bound, and blind. That's what I've come for. That was his opening. It wasn't just another sermon he put together. It was the pulse of his heart. His heart was and is to see souls restored. We see the Good Shepherd's heart on display repeatedly throughout the Gospels. In fact, every time there's a caveat, if you will, kind of an explanation away from the red letter stuff, you'll often hear this type of thing. I want to show you one example of it. It's here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says this about Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What I want you to hear in that this morning is when Christ looked over the multitudes, when he looked over the people, he saw souls in need of being restored. Souls in need of being restored. One time Luke tells us this. He says there was a time when Christ was standing over Jerusalem and he said these words, "How I've longed to gather you to myself as a hen would gather her chicks." It's all about the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, to see people's lives, their souls particularly, restored. Luke goes on to tell us there was a time that Jesus was looking over the city of Jerusalem and he began to cry. He saw people as broken souls, bound souls, blind souls in need of being restored. That, my friends, is what God is up to. That has been what his heart has been all about, is seeing the lives of people restored. But today, I'm here, that's the big picture. But I want to focus on something that David says in that little section of Psalm 23. He says this, he restores my soul. There is a big picture of God wanting to restore the souls and hearts of mankind. But God does that through working with individuals to see their own personal hearts and souls restored. In other words, we know God wants to save people. We know God wants to restore people. And we say that in a very generalized way. But David here is narrowing it down and saying, it is the Lord who restores my soul, my personal heart, my personal soul. Restoration, the restoration of mankind in general, happens through the process of God's restoring work individually. In other words, we can understand the big picture, but the big picture only can take place as people allow God to bring restoration to them individually and personally. And that work happens in us individually when, as we go through various life's events and experiences, we open up our heart to the Lord, like David's did, and said, Lord, lead me to those green pastures. Lead me beside those quiet waters. Please restore my soul. Now, it would be helpful this morning. I want to start out by defining a couple of things for you this morning. I want to start out by defining what the soul is. The Hebrew word for this word that gets translated soul in Psalm 23 is the word nephesh. Nephesh. It's a Hebrew word used to describe the non-material part of each one of us. You know, we can look at our human flesh right here. We can see this. It's the material part. And people tend to think this is who I am. But in the Hebrew mentality, and that's kind of what we're looking at when we look at the Old Testament of the Bible, they saw the soul, the non-material part of us as human beings, as the center of life. In other words, they believed that the human body and the physical heart pumping where the life really was. They believed that the life was really in the soul of a person. The inner essence is another way that they referenced it. It's that part, you know, we have tried to understand what that is, and to do that, we've tried to put some labels to it. We've said that the soul is made up of the mind and the will and the emotions, and it's our way of trying to understand what that is. But it's really more than that. It's bigger than that. It's something that houses, like, our uniqueness, our personality, our just different things that make us. It makes Jeff who Jeff is and Jody who Jody is and you who you are. It's that soul part of us. And so I want to make sure that we understand what the soul is. Now, the other word that I want to make sure we understood is what it means to restore or be restored. This particular Hebrew word is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. 1,000 times. It gets rendered a variety of different ways. Refresh, revive, renew, heal, convert, transform. But it carries with it this idea of movement, this idea of taking something back to a better place. You know, in the very beginning, our hearts, our souls were whole. They were complete as humanity. But when sin entered the situation, they got broken apart. They got broken. They got busted, if you will. And it's been God's heart and God's mission since that time to bring our souls back to that place of being well again, of being whole again. And that was the whole point of sending his son to us. Now, let me see here. David says, the shepherd restores my soul. David was human, just like you and I. He knew the exhilaration of victory, and he also knew the agony of defeat. Life for him took him from an obscure shepherd boy out back to eventually be to the highest pinnacle of authority and leadership and power on planet Earth at the time, to the king of the nation of Israel. Obscurity to the highest pinnacle. He knew the exhilaration of seeing God at work in his life and bringing him to a place of incredible significance. But that same David also knew what it was like to fall from that high position. He knew what it was like to give in to temptation. He knew what it was like to have a blood-born son of his betray him and look to kill him with murderous inclinations. He knew what that felt like. He was as human could be. One could think that if somebody chooses to be under the care of the great shepherd, under his anointing, under his watch care, that nothing could ever happen that would wound or hurt my soul. Well, we're all here, right? That's not how life works. Whether out in the fields as a shepherd watching over sheep or in the fields of everyday life, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Stuff happens that we didn't anticipate or want to happen. Andy and Lainer, you're here today. The last thing they want to be going through right now is what they're going through. Seeing their father pass away at 62 years old. Stuff happens. Life happens. People say things. People do things. We fall short. We fail. That's just life. None of us wants bad stuff to happen, and none of us truly in our heart of hearts wants to do bad stuff, but life tells us something different. Stuff happens. We get hurt. We hurt others. Our souls are in ongoing need of restoration. This isn't just one big event that happens to us, like, you know, oh, I came to know Christ and now I'm all better. No, you have found the way in to getting better, right? To getting wholer, to getting weller. And I know that's not a word, but it's my word. I made it up. The same David, listen, the same David who wrote it here in Psalm 23, he restores my soul, is the very same David that said this, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Same David, same writer. On one moment, he's saying, soul, why are you cast down? St. David, a little bit later, says, you restore my soul. There's this ebb and flow to life. There are moments and times when we are downcast. We're not on the pinnacle of spiritual success. We are somewhere, but we're not there. Same David. Now, I want to believe this morning that when he used this phrase downcast, he was actually thinking about something that goes on in shepherding. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning. There is a direct parallel between how a shepherd deals with sheep and something particularly that takes place in a sheep's life and this idea of being downcast. In a minute, I'm going to show you a video. But before I do that, in shepherding, there is a term that is used for a sheep that gets tipped upside down and can't get back up again. It's called a cast or cast down sheep. Now, I had every thought of actually portraying what that would look like for you on the stage here this morning. But I thought to myself, if I do, I may not be able to get back up again. So in lieu of that, I want to show you a video in England of what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. Here we go. There's no sound to it, so don't be waiting for the sound to get turned up. All right, so here's a picture of a field. Do you see the sheep out in the field? How many have ever been there before? I mean, not to that spot, but there you are. There you are, helpless. Now, I want you to note this moment right here. I want you to note that. I'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah. Fight and struggle as they might, they are stuck. I want you to notice something else about that right there. See that? Mark that. Now here's the flock. They're all heading someplace. Oops. There he is. Now keep watching the flock here if you would. They're paying no attention here. This poor sheep, he got a hole dug. He's been wrestling around. There they are. See him? Look at them. See ya. We're out. We're moving on. There they go. Adios. Why so downcast, O my soul? If a shepherd is missing a sheep, if he's looking over his sheep and he notices that there's a sheep missing, his first thought is, I must have a cast sheep. There must be a sheep that's tipped upside down that can't get back on its feet again. If the shepherd does not go out and find this sheep in a relatively short period of time, and what I read this week, on a hot day, we're talking hours. On a hot day, that sheep, if not tipped back up, will die within hours. On a cool day, he might make it a day or so. But the shepherd is not the only one who might be anxious about finding this lost sheep. He's anxious about it because there's others looking for this sheep as well. Because the predators know that if they can find a cast sheep, it's easy pickings. If you've been tracking with me the last couple minutes, you may be thinking already about the passage in Luke chapter 15 where it says that the shepherd leaves his 99 to go after the one. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Now, once a sheep is tipped over like that and can't get back up again, when a shepherd gets to the sheep and realizes that that's what's happened, once he gets the sheep turned over, the crisis is not over. Did you notice I said pay attention to that one part of that clip there that we looked at? Because you see, there's something adverse that's taking place when that sheep is on its back. Couple of things. Number one, when it's laying on its back like that, the gases from the stomach start to build up exponentially. And you may notice I told you to look at that other part. Like, when a sheep gets cast, they end up going to the bathroom all over themselves. A lot like us. Which I'll get to in a minute. So there's that dilemma that's going on where the gastric system gets all messed up while they've been laying on their back. But the other thing that happens is while their feet are up in the air, they end up going to sleep. So remember, you see that picture where he turned the sheep over and the sheep was trying to go, but there was nothing happening. That's because he can't feel his legs. In fact, I was going to show you another clip of another, but the guy swears a couple times on it. And I thought rather than offer that to you and hear criticism about that, but a guy finds a sheep out in the field similar to this. He's just a hiker. He's going along. He's got his selfie stick and, you know, he's videoing his trek and he comes across this sheep. And he doesn't know what's happened to it. He thinks the sheep is injured or something wrong with it, but it's actually just cast. It's tipped upside down. And so he comes to this sheep and he says, you know, I want to show you what I found here along my way. And he shows a picture, a clip of this sheep, you know, that's tipped upside down. And so he says, you know, I'm going to go over and I'm going to try to help it. So he puts his camera on a thing and you see him going over and he tries to grab the sheep and the sheep is kicking like crazy. And he's like, that's where he swears a couple times. But anyways, sheep's kicking like crazy. Well, he finally gets the sheep tipped back over, and the sheep tries to go, and he can't go. And then he swears again a couple times, and he says, what's wrong with you? Blank, 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 blank. Get it going, you know, that kind of thing. So anyways, he was not, obviously he wasn't a shepherd, right? He didn't know what was going on. So anyways, while a sheep is cast upside down like that, they're losing the blood all kind of flows away from their extremities, and their legs go to sleep. So even if the shepherd gets the sheep turned back over again, you know, in the Bible where it says a lot of times you'll see the shepherd have the sheep on his shoulders. The reason the sheep is on his shoulders is because the sheep can't walk. There's no ability to get where he needs to go. One of the articles I was reading about is a lot of shepherds, what they'll do is when they get the sheep tipped back over, they'll actually stand over the sheep and reach over and rub their legs back and forth, trying to get the circulation back into their legs. And within a few minutes, that comes back. Just like when our legs fall to sleep, you know, we get back in the right position. They come back to life again, and the sheep and or us as people are able to get up and get going again. So the question becomes, how does that happen to a sheep? It's important for me to tell you that any sheep can become cast. It's not like there's something wrong with them or, you know, like they having a, you know, some kind of physical problem or whatnot. I want to read to you out of this book that we've been gleaning some things from for our series here. This is a guy who was a shepherd himself, and he explains how it happens. He says it happens this way. A sheep will lie down comfortably someplace for a little while. And in the area where they're laying there, there might be a little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out in order to relax better. When suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that its feet no longer touch the ground. It, at that point, usually has a feel of panic. Hello? And starts to paw frantically, which only makes it worse. Now it's impossible, literally impossible, for the sheep to get back on its feet again. So no matter how much flailing the sheep tries doing, it's not getting back up. It needs help getting back on its feet again. I hope you can see the parallels. The Lord restores my soul. We, like sheep, have all been cast at one time or another in our life. Some of you may be here cast today. Somehow you found enough oomph to get here, but in your soul, in your heart, you are cast or cast down. Now, the way that that happens in our lives as humans, the ways that that can happen are endless, right? But I wanted to share with you what are some obvious ones and ones that I think we can all identify with us with. Anytime any of us experiences a sense of loss, it's very easily for us to become cast or cast down. Loss of loved one. Loss of a relationship. Loss of a job, finances, resources, loss of a friend, any of those types of losses, you know, we don't always handle that well. Right? Loss is one way that our hearts can become cast down. I also put up here perception. And what I mean by that is sometimes when we lose sight of things, the situation, we're only looking at it in a very narrow, we're not looking at it for all that it is. Sometimes our ability to properly perceive things gets skewed. Our vision gets clouded. We're unable to see things as they really are, and we end up entering into a victim mindset or a victim heart, and you know, our expectation of others are all messed up and whatnot. Sometimes our perception of things can cause us to become downcast. Sometimes fear will do it to us. The fear of failure, the fear of people's opinions, the fear of not getting what we want or getting what we don't want, all of those kinds of things can mess with our soul, can mess with our heart, and cause us to feel downcast. I put associations up here because I want to say this to you. If you hang out with people who are cast down, it won't take long before you're cast down. No, it's true. And I'm not in any way suggesting that we as servants of the Lord shouldn't be, instead of like those sheep in that herd kind of walking away from the cast down one, you know, as human beings anyway, we should be looking to see how we can help. Now, I know some of you like walking away and just, whatever. But we really should be turning around to see what we can do. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that kind of hanging out with people. Where ministry is our purpose for doing it. I'm talking about just the associations we have in life. I've heard some of you talk about, your work situations. You know, and sometimes if you're in an office someplace where, people are are complaining, which are symptoms of all this, but you know, these people are not happy. It's hard for you not to become cast down in your soul. So associations or painful past, you know, stuff that's gone on and rejections in our life and, you know, unresolved hurts and wounds and things like that. It's very easy for people to get troubled about all that stuff. And I just put up here how one knows whether they're downcast or not. If you find yourself blaming and complaining and withdrawing from people, you deal with sleeplessness, restlessness, complacency, unhealthy inner talk or inner chatter, chances are there is at least an element of being downcast in your soul. David says, "He restores my soul." The shepherd that I'm following, the shepherd that's leading my life, that's governing my heart and affairs, he restores my soul. I want to call this the four R's of restoration. You might want to write this down. This would be helpful for you in the days ahead. The four R's of restoration. How does that practically happen? You know, do I just, I'm going along my way and all of a sudden the Lord just, you know, dumps restoration out from heaven and, you know, one step I was downcast, the next step I'm like, woohoo! That's not my experience. My experience is some very practical steps that we take from being downcast or cast to being restored. You ready? Number one, it's rest. Hello? Have you noticed? Did you notice that rest is a major part of the word restore? Rest. Rest. Remember, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. When our souls are all messed up, the first R you should go to is rest. Rest. I'm not just talking about laying on the couch. I'm talking about getting into a place where God can minister to you. Getting your soul in a place where the Holy Spirit can just work with you. Rest. You know, God has provided a way for us to find rest for our physical bodies. He created a thing called the Sabbath so that our physical well-being for sure, and I'm confident a good portion of that has to do with our soul as well. But the Lord not only wants to make sure we're taken care of physically, he wants our souls to be at rest as well. Our souls get exhausted. Can I just say that again? Our souls get exhausted from the stresses, from the intensity of life, the stuff. Our souls are constantly being asked to filter through all this stuff, and they get exhausted. We all know what that feels like. We feel overwhelmed, and rather than taking time away to rest, we usually start screaming. I got to do it.
I
That is usually our, that's what we do. That is what we do. We scream at our wives. We scream at our husbands. We scream. We bah. What that really is it's a language for help. Help. The other day, Jody and I took our granddaughters, I won't mention which one that this happened to, but we took our granddaughters up to the House of Play in Rochester. It's great. It's a great outing. If any of you, if you haven't done it, it's worth the trip. So we took them up there, and one of our granddaughters it was important to her to have a, what do you call those things? A tablet, but what are they called? What are those called things? Electronic, electronic device with her. I got to take this with me. Oh, okay, whatever. So she had a little backpack with her, you know, a nice backpack. And the thing was inside it. And, you know, our thinking was, this, she ain't coming home with this thing, right? It's not going to make the trip, right? Because once you get into this House of Play, it's meant for playing. So you go to these different stations, these different things are in there, and this backpack ain't going to work, right? Well, sure enough, we go to leave, and I just happened to catch the last part of it, I guess. I don't know. I was half asleep, but anyways. One of our granddaughters was literally on the ground writhing with crying, saying her dad was going to kill her because she had left this somewhere in this House of Play. Now, for those of you who have been there before, this isn't like, you know, a shed in somebody's backyard. This is a big thing, right? And there's multiple floors and places and whatnot. So we're... She's on concrete, right? Whoa. I thought of this sheep. I thought her. She's going at it, getting her done. But then I thought, how often am I doing it, but I'm just standing up? Anyways, we find, to God be the glory. We walked in, and apparently they had blue shirts on. It looked like a bunch of college students that they hired during the summer to run this thing. But anyways, they were everywhere. They were like, it was like the invasion of the blue shirts, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what all of them do in here. You know, they're just kind of walking around and whatnot. Well, we figured out they're all on the hunt for backpacks that kids are leaving. That's what they do. They're just looking for stuff people left behind because they take it to the entry where you first come in. And we walked in and we said, well, our granddaughter, you know, she's having a meltdown here and so forth and so on. We described it, reached behind the counter, and handed it to us. There you go. So they were just thankful it didn't have a bomb in it. You know what I mean? Anyways, so all this stuff happens from all our whole life. Young age, old age, we get cast. We get tipped over, and we need help getting back up again. So one of the first ways to get back in the right place is to carve out, make time to rest your soul. Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. I'll give you rest for your soul. Rest is one of God's remedies for being cast or cast down. Number two, reflection. Reflection. And here's what I mean when I say reflection. Remember I told you that Psalm 42, David says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" He says it four times in that particular psalm. The second time he says it, he says this, "My soul is downcast, therefore I will remember." And what he does in the next few verses is he recounts all of God's faithfulness to him prior to that moment. So here's the moment. In Psalm 42, they believe that David wrote this when he was trying to evade his own son trying to kill him. Now that's something to be downcast about. I mean, that's real, right? His own son Absalom is trying to take him out. He's already betrayed him. Now he's trying to take him out. And they think he wrote 42 when all of this is taking place. So in the process of that, it would be very easy to get disturbed about things, right? And he says, "My soul is downcast, therefore I will remember. I will reflect upon the things that God has successfully..." And I'm thinking about David, I'm thinking, wait a minute. He had to go back and think about how God intervened with David and Goliath, right? He had to go back and he had to start intervening where God had been incredibly faithful to him despite the circumstances. Reflecting, reflection, contemplation. I said to you a couple weeks ago, rumination is one of the words associated, meditation. This very psalm itself, Psalm 23, is a reflective psalm. He's reflecting upon who God is in his life and how well he has been taken care of. When you and I find ourselves cast or cast down, it would be very good for us to find rest with God and to begin to reflect upon his previous faithfulness in our life. Number three, replenish. Replenish. Obviously, I kind of saw it as God, you know, giving us that cold drink again, giving us that fresh green grass again, God kind of bringing the blood back into our legs again. You know, in Psalm 19, David says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." You know, there's this ongoing metaphor in the Bible of God's word to us being like bread. God's word being like water to us. You know, it has the ability to not only bring that kind of soul refreshment that we need, but it also has the cleansing power to wipe the poop off. You know, while you're down there reeling about stuff and your soul's all disturbed, while you're there, you're defecating all over yourself. It's getting messy in your life. God says, "I got the perfect remedy for that. I'm not only going to replenish you in terms of the nourishment you need, but I've also got the water of my word to wash you and make you clean again." But here's the catch. You all sitting down? You have to give yourself to it. Like, I got these solutions for you, but you actually got to part the pages of this thing and allow it to begin to be nourishment to your soul. It doesn't happen if you don't part the pages. It's just like rest doesn't happen if you don't purpose to carve out that time, to carve out that space. We have to give ourselves to the Word of God. And then finally, release. The four words, the four R's of restoration. Release is about lifting stuff off of us. It's about leaving those moments of having rested, being replenished, being, what did I say? Reflecting those things. And leaving those moments feeling released. feeling the ability to get back on our feet again and keep going. Heidi, I'm going to ask you and whoever else is helping you here at the end to come back to the platform. You know, it would make no sense. Think about this for a second. It would make no sense whatsoever for that sheep who has been, it's been cast, for the shepherd to come over and flip the sheep back over again, do whatever it did to get its circulation flowing again, or pick it up and carry it, and set the sheep back down again, only to have the sheep say, "I'm rolling over on my back again." That makes no sense. So it's like God wants to get us, the whole point of restoration is movement to a better place. That's the whole point. Not staying there, not stuck there, but restoring us so we can be released to get back to doing the things that God has called us to. Jesus wants you to know that the same concern that a sheep has for his, or a shepherd has for his sheep, he as the good shepherd of our souls has for us. I want to correct any thinking that may be here this morning that when you see, you feel yourself cast down, sometimes people get the idea that when a child of God is in that place that of being discouraged or depressed or whatever, that God is disgusted, fed up, and furious with you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not the picture that's painted for us in the Bible. God wants to get you back on your feet again. God wants you to get you out of that place of being cast. Jesus has the same reaction to us when we are cast down that a good shepherd has for a cast sheep. He doesn't run the other way. He runs towards the sheep. That's why we have those numerous accounts of him expressing such concern for people. It explains why he was always reaching out to the down and outers, to the brokenhearted. It explains why he wept over people who weren't willing to allow him to restore their lives. When you read this life story of Jesus Christ, you see a good shepherd who has left the 99 to come and find the cast sheep. He calls us to find rest in him. He calls us to reflect of him. He wants us to see him as our means of refreshment and rejuvenation. But he also wants to release us back into the fields to serve the purposes for which he made us. I've asked Heidi and the team here if they would go ahead. You can start playing. I'm gonna just pray for us. But you all are gonna know this song when she starts singing it or when they start doing it. We're gonna sing it on the way out the door this morning. But I want you to first just listen. This may be a 1 minute, 2 minute rest stop for you. Some of you have been going through a bunch of junk. It'd be very easy for your soul to be cast because of it. I just want to pray before they start to sing. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for those who are within earshot of me right now. I pray the tending work of your shepherd's care in their life. I especially want to pray right now for those who've been struggling, Lord. Maybe they didn't see it before they walked in here this morning, but their feet have been in the air and just going like nothing, Lord. I pray for them, Lord. As a fellow sheep, I know what that feels like. And it's not a good place to be. So Lord, would you, through a work of your tending spirit, Lord, would you get us back on our feet again? Allow us to find our rest in you. Help us to reflect, to be replenished, and eventually released. Minister to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name.